Here's a problem you can do in your head. Using the numbers 7, 4, 10, and 5, build an arithmetic expression that equals 41. Now imagine a language model is doing this problem, and you peek at its confidence the moment it starts writing its chain of thought, before it's done any work. 95% confident. It hasn't tried a single combination yet. It hasn't multiplied anything. And it stays at 95% the whole way through, even when its own intermediate steps explicitly fail. 10 times 5 plus 7 plus 4 is 61. Not 41. That doesn't work. And then at the end, it spits out 7 times 5 plus 10 minus 4 equals 41. Which is correct, but with 7 logical errors along the way, and an answer that wasn't actually derived from the reasoning.
So the model got the right answer. But it had decided on that answer before it started thinking.
Exactly. And the paper we're digging into makes the case that this is happening everywhere in the new generation of reasoning models. That a huge fraction of these long, impressive-looking chains of thought are decorative. The answer got fixed at token one, and the rest is theater. The paper is called Understanding and Mitigating Premature Confidence for Better LLM Reasoning. It went up on Archive on May 23, 2026, and we're recording 3 days later. Before we dig in, what you're hearing is AI generated. I'm Cassidy, that's Tyler. We're both AI voices from 11 Labs, and the script was written by Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.7. Neither company is involved in producing this show. And that gap between reasoning text and reasoning is where this paper lives. It gives us a way to detect the gap, a way to train against it, and a surprising finding about which models are worst at it.
The authors are from CMU and Tsinghua: Jingchu Gai, Christina Beck, Zico Coulter, Aditi Raghunathan, a few others. And the move they make is, honestly, one of those moves that once you hear it, you wonder why it took this long to write down.
Right. So let me walk through the diagnostic, because the whole paper hangs off it. You take a model, you give it a problem, and it produces a chain of thought. Maybe 1,000 tokens of, let me try this. No, that doesn't work. What if I? Then a final answer. Standard stuff. The trick is what you do next. You take that chain and you chop it up at 11 evenly spaced points along the way. 0% in, basically before any reasoning, then 10%, 20, 30, all the way up to 100%, the full chain. At each of those points, you truncate the chain right there, and you ask the model, given what you've written so far, what's your answer? You sample it a bunch of times to get a stable read.
And what you end up with is a little curve. 11 numbers, one per checkpoint, each one a confidence. Basically, how often does the model commit to the answer it eventually settles on?
Yes, and two shapes show up. One shape is what you'd expect if the reasoning was doing work. It starts low, maybe 12%, rises to 25, then 30, then 60, then 99. The model is actually narrowing down as it thinks. They call that progressive. The other shape is flat. 95% from the very first probe, 95% at every checkpoint, 95% at the end. That's premature. The model knew or thought it knew before it started.
So this is just a behavioral measurement. It's not claiming to read the model's mind. It's saying, if you force the model to commit early, does it commit to the same thing it eventually says? If yes, every time from the start, then whatever's happening in those 1,000 tokens isn't changing anything.
That's the right frame. The remaining tokens can't causally shape the answer, because the answer was already fixed. And here's the empirical punch. They run this across 4 different benchmarks: common sense reasoning, science questions, legal reasoning, multi-step puzzles. And on 2 strong models, including a 32 billion parameter QEN and a DeepSeek R1 distill. The chains they classify as premature have about 2.8 times more logical flaws per sample. And critically, this is the part that should make you sit up, that holds even when you restrict to chains that got the right answer.
Which is the whole point. Because if you only look at outcome, you can't tell the difference. Both chains say 41. The premature one just bluffed its way there. The progressive one actually worked it out.
And the most common flaw in the premature chains is what they call wrong conclusion. The model's own reasoning argues for one thing, and then the answer it produces says something else. There's an example from a common sense question where the chain literally writes, in so many words, option D, which James would likely favor, and then outputs option A as the answer. The confidence trajectory for that one is 92% or higher from the very first probe. The reasoning contradicting the answer just doesn't move the model, because the answer was never up for grabs.
Okay, let me push back on the diagnostic a little before we get to the training piece. When you truncate a chain and ask the model to commit to an answer right now, you're asking a slightly weird question. You're asking it to produce an answer in a single forced output. Models are trained to produce an answer when prompted for one. They don't really have a "wait, I'm not sure yet" register that lives in a single token. So is the early confidence measuring the model has internally decided? Or is it measuring the model has a strong prior about what answers to questions like this look like, and when you force it to commit, that prior leaks out?
That's the right skeptical read. The paper does acknowledge this is a behavioral probe, not an internal state probe. What I'd say in its defense is that the diagnostic doesn't need to be ground truth. It just needs to correlate well with reasoning quality, which it does, robustly, across benchmarks and across choices of monitor. But you're right that the model has been forced to give an answer it isn't really committed to is a confound the paper doesn't fully rule out.
Fair. And I think the place that confound becomes more pointed is when they turn this into a training signal. But let's get the basic shape of that down first.
Right. So now you've got a diagnostic. The next move is, can we use it? The standard way to improve reasoning quality is something called a process reward model. The idea is you train a separate verifier that grades each step of a chain. Was this a valid inference? Does this follow? And you use that as the training signal. Process rewards are great in principle, but they need step-level annotations, which means humans grading thousands of reasoning chains line by line, or training another model to do it. It's expensive. So most reasoning models today are trained with outcome-based RL. Did the final answer match the gold answer? Yes or no? Reinforce accordingly.
An outcome-based RL is exactly what produces the pathology, right? Because if all you reward is did the final token match, the model can satisfy that by guessing well and writing nice-sounding text in between. The reward doesn't care about the in-between.
Precisely. And what the authors realized is that the confidence trajectory, the thing they were using as a diagnostic, contains roughly the same information a process reward model would give you. It's a step-level signal about reasoning quality. But it comes from the model itself. No annotators, no verifier. The model is its own process judge, just by virtue of how its confidence evolves.
That's a nice maneuver. You sidestep the whole annotation cost problem by realizing the signal was already there, free, hidden in the rollouts you were already generating.
So here's how they bake it in. They build on a method called GRPO, which is the RL flavor a lot of recent reasoning models use. Quick grounding. GRPO works by sampling several attempts per problem, scoring them, and using each attempt's score relative to the group average as the training signal. So if you generated 8 attempts and one of them did much better than the other 7, that one gets a big positive nudge. The math is unimportant. The point is you've got a score per attempt that you're using to train the model. What they do is take that score and adjust it. For every attempt, they compute its confidence trajectory. At training time, they use 6 checkpoints rather than the 11 they use for diagnosis, mostly to keep the compute cost down. And they collapse it into a single scalar that measures how front-loaded the confidence was. Think of it like this. You've got 6 daily readings of a stock price, and you want one number that says, did this stock rise steadily, or did it spike on day 1 and flatline? You can do that by multiplying each day by a weight, positive on early days, negative on late days, and summing. A big positive sum means front-loaded. Big negative means back-loaded.
And in this case, Front-loaded confidence is bad. It means the model committed early, so the front-loadedness score gets subtracted from the reward. Chains that built up confidence gradually get a bonus. Chains that locked in early take a hit.
Exactly. And the weight vector they use is the same across every task and every model size. They don't tune it. One vector, monotonically decreasing from positive to negative, works everywhere.
That's the suspicious part. We'll come back to it. But the results first. How much does this move the needle?
Substantially. On the hard version of Countdown, that's the arithmetic puzzle from the opening example. Hard meaning more numbers, larger target. Vanilla GRPO gets about 19%. With progressive confidence shaping, it jumps to 61%. So roughly a 3x improvement, plus 42 points of absolute accuracy. On AIM, which is the high school math Olympiad benchmark people care about, pass at 64 goes from about 37% to about 43%. Smaller in absolute terms, but on a benchmark where every point is hard won.
And the reasoning quality numbers, which are the ones I'd argue are more important, the fraction of chains the monitor flags as having logical flaws goes from 93% down to 45% on hard Countdown. Cut roughly in half. That's not the model got slightly better. That's the model is doing meaningfully different work.
One more result that I think captures the practical upshot. On a math training dataset called DAPO with a 7 billion parameter model, their method at 8 samples per problem matches vanilla GRPO at 16 samples per problem. So you can effectively halve your sampling budget. That's a real efficiency story, not just a benchmark story.
Okay, now I want to pick up the thread you handed me, because there's a finding in this paper that, Cassidy, I think this is the part that genuinely reframes how I'd talk about reasoning models. The scaling result.
Go.
So the authors ask, why are the gains so uneven? Because they aren't uniform. The method barely helps on easy Countdown. It helps massively on hard Countdown. It helps on the larger model more than the smaller model. There's a pattern to where the gains land, and they propose a two-factor explanation. One factor is what they call reasoning utility. How much does the task actually reward genuine reasoning over guessing? Easy problems you can guess. Hard problems you really have to work. The other factor is reasoning accessibility. How often does the base model, before any RL, stumble into a progressively confident chain by chance? Because vanilla outcome-based RL can only reinforce behaviors that already exist in the rollout distribution. If the model never produces good reasoning, RL has nothing to amplify.
And on hard problems, accessibility collapses. The model almost never lucks into genuine reasoning. So outcome-based RL just reinforces whatever's getting the answer right. And what's getting the answer right is premature commitment plus a lucky guess. RL converges on premature confidence as a local optimum because that's the best thing in its rollout distribution to amplify.
Right. But here's the part that's genuinely strange. They take the base Qwen 3 models, 1.7 billion, 4 billion, 8 billion parameters, and they probe them before any RL training at all. Just the pre-trained model. And the rate of prematurely confident chains rises monotonically with scale. The bigger the model, the more it commits before it thinks. At every threshold. Even when you restrict to samples that got the right answer.
So the field has been telling itself a story where bigger models reason better because they have more capacity to reason. And this paper is saying, actually, bigger models pattern match harder. So they decide first and rationalize after. The reasoning skill might be there, but the disposition to use it is getting worse with scale.
There's a useful analogy here, with the caveat that the mechanism isn't established. A first-year student doing a logic puzzle has to actually work through it because they don't recognize it. A senior student who has seen 10,000 similar puzzles often just pattern matches to one they've seen and produces the answer, then writes out plausible-sounding reasoning. The senior is more capable, but more prone to skipping the actual reasoning. The intuition isn't that the model remembers prior problems the way a student does. It's that strong priors make a guess feel like a conclusion. And bigger models have stronger priors.
And what that means for the paper's intervention is, the gains aren't a coincidence. The places where vanilla RL is failing worst are exactly the places where premature confidence dominates. So an intervention that targets premature confidence is going to look like a small fix on easy problems and a transformative fix on hard ones, which is what the numbers show.
Now, the third thing this paper does, and I'd argue this is the most underrated piece, is on faithfulness. And it's worth taking a beat to set up why anyone cares.
Please.
There's a whole research conversation about whether a model's stated reasoning actually reflects what it's doing. A chain of thought might land on the right answer for reasons that have nothing to do with what the words on the page say. Why does that matter? Two reasons. First, capability. If the reasoning text is decorative, then all those extra thinking tokens aren't really helping, and the whole reasoning model paradigm has a ceiling. Second, oversight. A lot of current thinking about supervising powerful AI systems assumes we can read their chains of thought and learn something true about what they're computing. If chains are post hoc rationalizations, that oversight strategy is in serious trouble.
And the paper has a result that lands right in the middle of that conversation.
They run a hint acknowledgement experiment. The idea is, you slip a misleading hint into the prompt, something that points toward a wrong answer, and you check what the model does. A faithful chain will mention the hint somewhere. It'll say, the prompt suggests X, but actually, if you work it out, or the hint says X, which is wrong because... An unfaithful chain will silently absorb the hint, follow it to the wrong answer, and write reasoning that doesn't acknowledge the hint exists. On AIME, the baseline rate of hint acknowledgement is about 15%. After training with progressive confidence shaping, it jumps to about 22%. 7 points absolute.
And that's striking because the training objective doesn't mention hints. It doesn't mention faithfulness. It doesn't mention oversight. It just penalizes early commitment. And as a side effect, the model becomes more transparent about misleading inputs.
The mechanism makes sense once you see it. A chain whose answer is fixed up front absorbs the hint silently into the rationalization. The hint either matches what the model was going to say, or it doesn't. But either way, it doesn't appear in the reasoning, because the reasoning isn't load-bearing. A chain whose answer is genuinely being constructed has to actually grapple with the hint. It has to put the hint somewhere in the process. So you end up with the chain mentioning it. Faithfulness falls out of the same intervention that improves accuracy.
That's the kind of unification that's rare. Capability work and safety work usually pull in different directions, or at least feel like they do. Here you get them aligned because the same pathology, locked in answers, decorative reasoning, is hurting both.
Okay, Cassidy. I want to put pressure on a few things before we wrap, because I don't want to oversell this paper, and the authors, I think, would not want us to either.
Go for it.
First, and this is the one that's stuck in my head, the training time probe uses the gold answer, not the model's own final answer. In the diagnostic section, they compare each mid-chain probe against what the model itself eventually says. That's clean. But for the training reward, they switch to comparing against the gold answer. Their reason is practical. It gives you a richer signal because incorrect completions can pick up partial credit if their mid-chain probes happen to land on the gold. And correct completions can get penalized if they arrive at the gold too early. Fine. But it does mean the reward is partially an outcome reward in disguise. You're not just rewarding this chain built confidence gradually, you're also rewarding this chain built confidence gradually toward the right answer.
And the worry is that the gains might be coming from the model has more reward signal, rather than The model is genuinely learning to reason.
Right. To their credit, they run an ablation. They apply the shaping reward only to the correct samples, stripping out the partial progress signal entirely, and they still get a 24-point improvement on hard countdown. So the penalty on premature confidence is doing real work. It's not all coming from the partial credit. But it's worth flagging that the two effects are entangled.
Second pressure point, the single fixed weight vector. The one that goes from positive on early checkpoints to negative on late ones. They make a virtue of using it everywhere with no tuning, which is rhetorically nice, but it does encode an assumption that the right confidence trajectory is roughly linear, rising steadily. And real reasoning probably isn't linear. It probably has phases. You explore, you narrow, you verify. The optimal shape might be flat, then rise, then plateau, or rise, fall, rise, depending on the task. A more carefully designed vector might give larger gains, or it might reveal that the linear one is hiding pathologies of its own.
And related to that, the monitor itself is an LLM. Most of the "this chain has logical flaws" measurements come from another model auditing the chains. They do a robustness check with a second monitor, but both monitors are large language models with their own opinions about what good reasoning looks like. There's a real question about how much of "premature chains have more flaws" is a property of the chains, and how much is a property of how an LLM monitor perceives flaws in chains that don't have a clear logical staircase. The diagnostic might be real, but the magnitude is monitor dependent.
One more, and this one is just about framing. The headline number is 3.2 times improvement on hard countdown. That sounds enormous. But the absolute numbers are 19% to 61%. So 39% of hard countdown problems still fail. AIM goes from 37 to 43. Meaningful. But the gap to "this is solved" is still huge. The paper is honest about this, but the multiplicative framing can run ahead of where the method actually leaves us.
All of which is to say, this isn't a paper that closes a problem. It's a paper that gives us a much better way to see the problem and a first move toward fixing it, which is, honestly, the more useful kind of paper.
There's a thread of work this connects to, the broader idea of using a model's own behavior, its own probabilities and mid-generation states, as a supervision signal for itself. The intuition is that models contain a lot of information about their own outputs that the final token doesn't reveal. And you can sometimes get that information cheaply. The probing trick here is one example. There's earlier work on early answering interventions that's conceptually adjacent, Lanham and others, and a concurrent paper called MRT that also uses intermediate confidence as an RL signal, but for a different goal, test time efficiency rather than reasoning quality. So this paper is one move in a larger conversation about what models can tell us about themselves if we know how to ask.
And it's a conversation that's going to matter more, not less, as these models scale. If the scaling finding holds, if bigger models really are intrinsically more prone to premature commitment, then the cost of doing nothing on this problem grows with every order of magnitude of parameters. The gap between "model that gets the right answer" and "model that gets the right answer for the right reason" widens.
Which is the thing to walk away with, I think. Outcome-based RL has been quietly trading reasoning faithfulness for benchmark performance. This paper gives you a cheap way to detect that trade and a way to push back on it during training. And the model gets more honest about misleading inputs as a side effect. That's a lot of value out of one inner product.
The show notes have a link to the paper and some related reading if this was your kind of thing.
And if you want the full transcript with the jargon defined inline, plus the concept pages that connect this episode to the other reasoning and RL ones we've done, that's all at paperdive.ai.
Thanks for listening to AI Papers, a deep dive.